Good morning. Hey, are you ready to be challenged? Nobody is. Good. Well, you're going to be challenged because this, I'm going to tell you right now, this is a very challenging message. As I've had to just wrestle with it myself this week, it has been extremely challenging for me. And not so much in the text that we're going to use. The text that we're going to use is going to be a very familiar text for all of you, but how it's applied in each and every one of our lives in 2019 is I guarantee you it's going to challenge you. I guarantee it, every single one of you. The Lord is doing a lot in my life in this area, so I cannot claim to have attained it all, but my awareness of this message has been extremely heightened in the last few days and weeks, actually. So one of the things is we're coming out of this incredible conference we have, Expectant Conference. One of the things that the pastor said, or Jamie Sanders said on the Saturday, I believe it was, is that the saint is the most glorious position in the church. You, saints of God, everybody in this room, if you call on Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, God identifies you as His saint. And what a glorious position that is in the church. That God values and treasures His saints to such a high degree. You are His people, the people who get to carry out His ministry in 2019. How awesome of a privilege is that? That is awesome. That is awesome that God sees you and entrusts you with His gospel, entrusts you with His ministry, entrusts you to carry out His work here and now today in this moment. You're alive for that purpose. That's awesome. That is really awesome. So what we're going to talk about over the next couple days, and you can throw that picture up for me. We're going to have a sort of a mini-series on this word thrive. Because we're going to look at what it looks like, what it means to be a saint as a living of the living God, but to thrive as a saint of the living God. Like, what does it look like to be a saint? What is the ministry about? What is the ministry of a saint? What does it look like in real time, is what I'm saying. Like, what does the work of a saint, the ministry of a saint look like on the ground here and now? My identity before God is as of a saint. I'm seated in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father right now. In the very moment, I am a saint on earth in the midst of persons. What does that look like? And that's what we're going to explore together. Each and every one of you are called to be a saint. Not only His people, but the very essence of God's people is first and foremost. And I think this is the very first thing we need to understand as we talk about what it means to thrive as a saint of God, is to understand that you are first and foremost, fundamentally, a person. You are a person who lives in a world of persons. And I pray that this morning that each and every one of you will walk away with a greater sense of your purpose. Not only as God's saints, but as God's saints living in this world as persons in a world of other persons. I could easily identify each and every one of us in this room as people, right? We're a gathering of people together. Or I could say that we are humanity together. The makeup of all of the people in the world is humanity. But I think when we do that, as we generalize the world, right? We generalize people. It's too generalized. It's people. Or we could identify each and every one of you as individuals or as human beings. But I think what that does is it kind of reduces it to isolation, doesn't it? I'm a soul individual. I'm a soul being. I'm all by myself. But what we see in the Word of God is that we are actually persons. And I think that's the best word to identify somebody. You and I in this morning, today, right now, are persons. First and foremost, before anything else, you are a person who has encountered the love of God, been redeemed and reconciled and justified through Christ Jesus. But you are a person, first and foremost. I think it's interesting that we don't refer to the Godhead or the Trinity as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We don't say these three people. What do we call them? Persons. The three persons. Why? The reason is because they are fundamentally, essentially, what it means to be a person is to be in relationship. To be relational. As a person, you are relational. The Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in perfect relationship with one another. And I want to look at this for a moment. Let's take a look at this for a moment. Let's think about the very moment that you and I became a person. All right? Can you think that far back? Not the moment your parents got happy and they conceived you. That was the moment you gave life. All right? Sorry for the... Is that inappropriate? Oh, sorry. Not that moment. But the moment you became a person was the moment you beheld the face of another person. The moment that your face beheld and gazed upon the face of another person. The moment you were recognized in your absolute vulnerability and as completely abandoned of who you are and nothing to prove, you are just completely vulnerable. You're in your perfect safety moment and you were just recognized by a person. You beheld the face of another person. There's a... When a newborn is born, there's four various states that they go through that I was looking at. And one of those, the first state is an active awareness state. Right? We all know that. And there's a crying state, and there's an eating or sleeping state. I can't remember. But the one that stood out to me was this, it's called a quiet alert state. A quiet alert state that every newborn goes through. And in that moment, in the quiet alert state, is this child is completely still. Their eyes are wide open. And they're in this moment, and they are searching for a face. They're looking. That's what doctors say in research and science. Everybody's, this quiet alert state is when a child is being held by their parent. And in that moment, their quiet alert state, and they're all they can do, because they can only see 8 to 10 inches in front of them, is they are looking to be recognized. They're looking to gaze upon a face, looking to feel the warmth and the safety that they had in the womb and the voice that they heard of the mother they had in the womb. In that moment, they are recognized by their parent. Every one of us comes into this world looking for someone who is looking for them. We're all looking to be completely and utterly vulnerable as persons, to be open, to be able to be open, to be free and to be safe, to be yourself without having to put on some sort of fake and some sort of facade, but to be recognized simply for who you are and to see others as who they are. Every one of us comes into this world looking for someone, looking for them. And it's at that moment when you are recognized that you are a person. Your identity as a person is there. Should I have you all just turn to one another and look deeply and gaze into deeply into each other's eyes? No? You don't think that would be funny? Turn to your neighbor and just gaze right into their eyes. I see you for all that you are. And you see me for who I am, right? So that's first and foremost. First and foremost is you are a person who has come into this world wanting to be recognized simply as a person in all your vulnerability, completely abandoned to be known. That's what each and every one of us came into this world looking for. Now, how do we flourish as persons? Because as saints of God, we are first and foremost persons, right? First, before anything else, you and I, this room is full of persons. So how do we flourish as persons? Turn with me to Mark chapter 12. That's where we're going to be finding our text this morning. You may be familiar with this text. You may not be familiar with this text. But it is one of those passages, it's one of those truths that if you just apply it to any area of your life, any situation, if you filter it through this passage of Scripture, you will find your answers. You will understand how to live, how to act, how to behave, how to go through every situation and circumstance if you filter it through this. The context is Jesus, and he's in Jerusalem, and he's being asked these probing questions, and he's being challenged, and we get to verse 28. And it says this: one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked them, "Jesus, which commandment is the most important of them all?" Like, what is the one commandment above every other commandment that we can walk away here knowing is more important than any other commandment? And Jesus answers this. He says this: the most important is this: "Hear, O Israel, All right, now when he says that in that moment, he's referring back to Deuteronomy. This is the passage of the law that you find in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And Jesus is referring to it because he knows that every Jewish ear, every religious leader of that day, every scribe, every Pharisee, every Sadducee would know this passage of Scripture. And it just resonated with them directly. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And he goes on, he says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, for there is no other commandment greater than these. All right? So here's Jesus, and he just puts it plain out there. Guys, this is it. This is the greatest commandment. These are the two greatest commandments of all, right here. To love God with your entire person. For everything that makes you up to be a person, your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, that is your makeup as a person. And Jesus says, this is the greatest thing you can do. This is the greatest commandment, is to love God and others with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind and all of your strength. And when Jesus is referring to this, he's referring to a law that was written so many hundreds of years ago. It is a commandment that was given to the nation of Israel. And all these commandments that were given to Israel, they were given to them so they would be people who would thrive in the land that God has given them, so that they would thrive as the persons of God. And so Jesus is now referring back to this. This is the text right here, guys. The greatest commandment. You want to thrive as persons of God? Do this. Have an active heart, an active mind, an active soul, and strength in the service of love to God and others. Bada bing, bada boom. This is what it means to be a person of God. This is your calling. Heart, soul, mind, and strength. Everything that makes you up as a person was designed for love. That's what Jesus is telling us here. He's showing us here that everything that makes you up as a person is designed for love. Your entirety as a person is designed to be an instrument of love unto God and unto others. Well, let's look at this for a moment. What does it mean to love God with all of your heart, right? We know the heart is this place where your seat of feelings, right? This is the place where we feel things, and there's a lot of emotions involved in the heart, but there's something that's so much greater. There's a depth to the heart that we don't really talk about, and that is the heart is something that has a pursuit nature to it. You with me? Like, there's something that draws it towards something. And David talks about it in his Psalms, and he's talking about his affection for the Lord. My heart is going after you, Lord God. There's a pursuit nature that happens within the heart. It goes after something. It desires something. And so when Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, it's a pursuit that takes place. To pursue God with your very being, to pursue after him, to desire him. And how do you love people with all of your heart? What do? You pursue after them. You desire them. You go after them. There's something that draws you to them. If you want to love the Lord your God with all of your heart and people, go after them. Pursue them with your heart. What about your soul? There's a lot you could be said about the soul. There's lots of doctrines and theology written about the soul, the very soul, but for this time being, I want you just to recognize the soul as the depth of your being. Right? The very core of who you are. Maybe you refer to it as your inner man, but it's the inner core of who you are, the very depth of your being. It's the place where the fullness of who you are belongs, in your soul, the deepest part of your being. And so when you love the Lord your God with all your soul, you're loving him with the deepest core of your being. All that, your entire fullness of who you are. And how do you love somebody, another person, with all your soul? You love them with your core. You love them for all that you are, all the depth of yourself, the place where you bring the fullness of who you are. That's how you love someone with all your soul. Well, what about the mind? The mind's a little bit easier, right? The mind has the capacity to reflect. The mind has the capacity to understand and to know and to think through. And so how do you love the Lord your God with your mind? Is that you think upon Him. You reflect upon Him. You take His word and you dwell upon His nature and His character, and you marinate it in your mind, and you marinate on the things that He's done in your life. That's what it means to love the Lord with all your mind. How do you love another person with all of your mind? You think about them. They're on your mind. You reflect upon them. You dwell upon them. You wonder how they're doing. You wonder how their life situation is going. That's how you love someone with all of your mind. And finally, strength. The strength is your physical body at work, right? It is what it is. It is you putting physical energy and investing it into someone or something. That's how you love God with all of your strength, is that you put your physical body to work demonstrating your love for God. You take your energy that you have and you invest it into God. And you, how do you love someone else? How do you love another person with all of your strength? Same thing. You take your physical body and you put it to work in serving them. You take your energy and you invest it on their behalf. Are you following me? To love the Lord your God is to love the Lord your God with all that makes you up as a person. And Jesus says, this is the greatest commandment. That if you want to thrive as a person, here it is. Love the Lord your God with your entire being, the fullness of who you are, heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love others the same way. You know that when you worship, worship is a form of loving the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Think about that for just a moment. If you love the Lord your God with all of your heart, you are in pursuit, right? You come to church and you recognize, God, I want to be with you. I want to be with the community of faith. I want to be in the design that you've created me. I'm pursuing after you, God. And so I'm coming this Sunday to worship you. I'm coming to your word when I read your word, and I'm pursuing you, God. And so you begin to sing songs, and we begin to read these lyrics off the screen and sing and make music. You're worshiping Him with all of your heart and all of your soul. It's coming out of the deepest core of your being, the fullness of who you are. Your mind is reflecting on the words that are flashing across the screen, and you're reflecting on, this is the character of God. This is the nature of God. This is what He's done. Oh yeah, I remember when you did this for me, God. And you're worshiping Him with your mind. And with your strength. I want to challenge you with this one, right? Because we're commanded to love the Lord God with all of our being, the fullness of who we are. And I want to challenge you this morning is to love the Lord your God and worshiping Him with your strength. Well, how do you do that? How do you do that? I mean, you may be, and this is not a guilt-ridden thing. I'm simply asking you to take this away and present it to the Lord and say, God, what do you want me to do with this? But to love the Lord your God with all your strength in worship is to flex your diaphragm and your muscles, and produce a note out of your mouth, and to speak vigorously, and to shout, and to be a boisterous in your worship, to produce a sound. Not, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. And if you're not on the note, nobody cares, because you're loving the Lord your God with all of your strength. And that's what matters. Lift your hands. Physically put your hands in action. Love the Lord your God in worship. I challenge you to come in here next Sunday and to worship Him with all of your strength and all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your soul. So here it is, and this is the makeup of a person, your heart. And God is saying to us today, have an active heart, soul, mind and strength in the service of love to God and others. This is what every saint has been called to do. This is what every person who calls on the name of Jesus as their Lord and Savior, this is your ministry right here. This is the ministry. This is it. You can sum it up right here. To love God with all of your being and to love others with all of your being. Everything that makes you up as a person, to recognize and behold the face of another person and recognize them as a person with a heart and a soul and a mind and a body and to love them fully. Can you imagine what it would look like in this community if each and every one of us took this commandment further than we've ever taken it before? What would it look like in your marriage if each and every one of you took this commandment further than you ever have, to love your wife and your children with your entire being? Think for a moment, how often do we use each of these at the same time? How often do we love using all of these all at once? Think about that for a moment. When was the last time you loved someone with all of these things in that moment? Not just some of them, but all of them. I had some time to really dwell on this and this week as I was preparing for the message, and this is what was brought to mind. Here's an example. Last week, I was able to express this type of love fullest, to give my fullness to my children in playing catch with them in the backyard. All right? I am their softball and baseball coaches, and my kids came up to me. It was a cold weather. It was really cold, right? But it was one of those milder days. And the kids came up to me like, "Daddy, Daddy, let's go play catch." And I'm like, "Yes, man, let's go." My kids are amped up. They're ready to get out there, you know, get better than everybody else kind of thing, put in the extra hard work. And so we're going outside, and we're playing catch. And in that moment, I am actively loving them with my heart, mind, soul, and strength. How? A lot of ways. In that moment, I'm attentive fully to them. I'm fully present with them in that moment, right? They are my everything in that moment. And I'm clearly attentive to building them up and encouraging them and building their confidence in the game. You see, I'm loving them with my heart. I'm loving them from the very core of my being. I'm pursuing them. I'm thinking about them. I'm actively engaging them, and I'm attentive to their needs. And so I'm loving them in that moment. My heart and my soul and my strength, right? We're literally taking a glove and we're throwing and we're using our body. Our body is in action. We are expending energy. I'm expending my energy to show my kids how much I love them. And so that was the moment when I showed my kids love using all of these all at once. And then the Lord reminded me of a couple days later. It was a lot more cold, and I was not going outside. It was the type of weather, nobody went outside. You remember that day last week, right? And the kids wanted to go outside, and I was like, "Guys, come on, let's not, no. Right? It's too cold." And so what happened was, like, I was like, "All right, guys, why don't we just go inside, we'll sit on the couch, and we'll snuggle up on the couch, and we'll watch TV together." And I was like, "I'm going to be present with them, or we're watching TV. I'm going to be engaged in what they're watching, and I'm going to be engaged." And so I was, and I sat on the couch with them, And we're watching TV, and I'm conversing with them. I'm laughing at some of the jokes that, you know, you force a laugh out because they're laughing, and you're like, you know. And then I just find myself a minute later doing this. Yeah. I got silent. Each and every one of us comes into this world with a basic need in life, and that is to be recognized fully as a person. To be fully present with another person, because we are persons and we are essentially, fundamentally to the core, relational. To be recognized in love as a person as when we first experienced it as a newborn. That is the need that every person in this entire world needs. How different would our world look if we took this commandment further than we've ever taken it before? This is what you're called to do, church. This is the ministry of the saints. This is the ministry as persons of God. But the question arises, how do we reach such a level of connection with other people in this world when nobody seems to know how to do it anymore? We live in a time where we are at odds with our surroundings, and our surroundings are threatening to pull us, and they're threatening to lure us away from being the persons who are able to show this type of love in fullness. Right? Would you agree? I mean, let's be honest for a minute. One of the greatest threats to our personhood is this right here. This is one of the greatest threats to us being fully person is this right here. Now, maybe not this phone specifically, but what it represents, right? What it represents. It represents an active threat to us being able to be fully present and to be fully able to extend ourselves, the fullness of who we are, heart, mind, soul, and strength in the moment to show someone else love, in the service of love to God and others. Even before God, we choose this instead of this. We choose this instead of being on our knees to pray. This is the greatest threat to our personhood. One of the things that this does not do for each and every one of us is allow us to be who we're supposed to be. We think what we want is the ease of this and all the good that we can get out of these things. We think we want that. We think that's what we need. That's not what we need. And once we have it, right, and you get through it and you're like, yes, this advice is awesome, how fast did that excitement wear off on every single one of us, right? These phones are just now part of us. They're not even exciting anymore. Now, can you imagine saying to your grandmother, your great-great-great-grandmother, that there will be a machine in your house one day, and every single household in America will have one that it actually washes the food off of your dishes. It does the work for you, right? And each and every one of us has a dishwasher. But if you can imagine being those first families that are having a dishwasher, woo! I hate the dishes. I hate doing dishes. And I don't even do them because this thing does it. I hate even putting them in there. That's how bad it's come, right? That's what I'm talking about. But every single one of us has a dishwasher in our house, and it means nothing to any of us. It's diddly squat. It's just there and does it, right? The excitement is not there. The excitement is not there. We think what we want and what we need is the ease of these machines and devices, but what we truly need as persons of God is to be recognized fully and to give of ourselves fully to someone else and to God. Can you put that picture up for me, please? Look, this is Mark Zuckerberg. For those of you who do not know, I'm not preaching against him. My purpose in this is how do we apply this text and this truth and this command to 2019? That's my entire goal, right? And so here's Mark Zuckerberg in full room of hundreds of people who have these virtual reality headsets on. And in this moment, you see hundreds of people excited about this new device and this thing that is the future and just kind of like the start of the future. And there's one person actually here in this picture. You see, there's one person actually using his body. There's one person that's using the fullness of himself in this moment. I'm not praising Mark Zuckerberg. I'm just saying, look, what I'm saying is that this is a simulation of reality. What these do is they simulate real life. They're not what we truly want. It's a false imitation of what we really need. What we really need is to be fully present, offering all of our heart, offering all of our soul and our mind and our strength in the service of love to God and to others. This is the ministry of every saint called by God. This is what you have to be challenged with, and I've been challenged with, and I'm still being challenged with today. Now, I'm not advocating any one of you throw out your cell phones. My kids actually asked me last week, Dad, what's a cell phone? To them, it's just a phone. This is just a phone. Dad, why is it a cell phone, right? This is the reality of the world we live in. It's just a phone. But so I'm not advocating throwing out your cell phone. I understand it's not practical, but here's what I'm advocating, church. As the people, the persons of God, the saints of God, I'm advocating that each and every one of us be radically different than the rest of the world and how we use it. Radically different in the way that we use it. I'm urging each and every one of you. I'm strongly advocating that each and every one of us be more aware of the danger we face as persons, living in a world of persons, and the inability that this thing does, the threat that this thing is to us being able to be fully present with someone in a moment. And my kids are, "Dad, let's play. Dad, let's wrestle. Dad, let's wrestle." "Yeah, in a little bit, bud. In a little bit. Daddy's got to do something real quick, man. I got to do something real quick." It beckons you. It calls you. It is an immense threat to your marriage and to your life, to you being a full person, being able to give of yourself fully. Does that make sense? So be aware, church. I'm simply saying, be sharply, keenly aware of the very threat to your personhood, the threat to your calling as the persons of God, to be able to give yourself fully to someone else, to love God fully, to love others fully. Here's what I've learned recently is that this technology, it can be a device or it can be an instrument, right? An instrument allows a person to extend themselves. These guys are playing instruments up here. They're able to extend the fullness of who they are in an instrument. Any musician will be able to tell you the same thing, that an instrument is an extension of themselves, right? Telescopes, an extension of ourselves. We're able to now see, and it's an instrument, but we're able to see so far beyond what we can see right here. It's an extension of ourselves. So this can be a device or it can be an instrument. It can be an instrument if you access it to exercise your heart, mind, soul, and body in the service of love to God and to others. Or you're thinking of other people with your mind and you're reaching out to them and saying hello, or and the post that you put on Facebook or the text that you make or the pictures and the memes and the gifts that you send are wholesome. And are you loving God with the things that you're sending through your phone? And even in that, you still don't really love somebody with all of your strength, do you? You're not really investing your physical body when you're reaching out to them. I mean, I'll give us some credit. We are moving our thumbs. But is that loving somebody with your fullness of your body? The fullness of your strength? Let's take it a little further, and this is my challenge. I'm not a phone person. I don't like talking on the phone. But at least I'm moving in that direction where I'm picking it up and I'm calling them and I'm sending voice through voice and I'm exercising my diaphragm and my lungs and I'm using my physical body to love them. Are you with me? Be radically different in the way that you use this. And so if we use it, it will be an instrument if it extends you and allows you to love somebody and love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. It is an absolute threat if you use it to remove yourself from being a person. If you use this as an escape to remove yourself from being a person who is made up of a heart, mind, soul, and strength, then this is an absolute threat to the way that God designed each and every one of us. Told you it's gonna be challenging. Like I said before, this message is it's cutting straight to the core of me. It's causing me to make drastic changes in my life. Because I can't be presented with this truth and apply it to 2019, right? Without being obedient to it, you know? Without yielding to it. We cannot be presented with this truth and just completely reject it. Because we are given this commandment so that we will be persons who thrive in this land, in this day, in this age. The kingdom of God needs his people to thrive in 2019, 2020, 2000, the next. He needs his people to thrive. So how do you apply it? How do you love somebody with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength? To be fully present in the moment. The best gift you can give to a person is to be fully present with them in that moment. And I know this is challenging for every single one of us in this room. But God's desire for us each is to thrive and to mature and to flourish. That's what the word thrive means, is to flourish, to advance. It means to succeed, to move beyond where you are, to grow. And here's the first step. Each and every one of us can walk away with a greater awareness of the threat that that is to our personhood, and reject it when we start to use it as an excuse to remove us from being the persons that we were designed to be. Anthony and worship team, could I ask you guys to come on up, please, quickly? And we're just going to respond in just a moment to this word. Can I encourage you to let this command to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your strength and with all your soul, and to love others? Can I encourage you to use that this week as your filter for all decision making? Every circumstance that you find yourself in, and if you're ever uncertain as to what to do in a certain situation, ask yourself which course of action best demonstrates me loving you, God, with all of my heart, with all of my mind, and with all of my soul, and with all my strength, and also to love others, and to be fully there, to give of myself fully to you, God, and fully to others. Whatever situation is, Lord, I face this week, I face this week, I've got this to do this week. Lord, how can I best give of myself fully as a person in the service of love to you and to others in that circumstance, in that situation? I'm serious, man. This is the secret to thriving. This is God giving you just a beautiful, and we're going to expound on this next week, but this is God giving you a gem. The riches of His truths are here, given to you right now. Take it and thrive with it. Thrive. I want you to leave here today being a person that is sent out in the service of love to God and others, being fully present in every moment God has given you. Would you stand with me? And Nick, could I ask you to put up that last passage, please? And I want to read through this. We'll just finish up, and Anthony and the team are just going to lead us through one last song as we close up. But can I ask you not to read it off the screen? Can I ask you just get in a place, a space of you and God, whether you want to close your eyes, whether you just want to look at the floor. Don't look at the screen, though. I did put it up there. You know what, Nick? Throw it off. Second thought. Thanks, man. I want you to listen just for a moment. Just open your ears. Respond in your heart. Just get in a quiet space with the Lord in this moment as we respond to this. I don't know about you, but I had to confess to the Lord this week. There was a spirit of confession where I had to come before the Lord and say, God, I'm sorry that I have allowed myself to be a victim of these things that threaten me as a person. I'm sorry that I have allowed myself to not love others fully. People that you've put me in proximity with, my family, my church, you guys. There's times when I'm not fully present with you guys, and I've had to really surrender that to the Lord. So just in your quiet space, just listen to these words found in 1 John chapter 4. It says, Beloved, that's you guys. Let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that He sent His only Son into the world so that we might live, thrive, flourish through Him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the replacement for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, it means that God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. And by this we know that we abide in Him, in us because he has given us of his Spirit. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you as persons. We come before you as persons, God. Made up of a heart, mind, soul, strength. Lord, this was your design. Lord, your word today was a commandment to us. The greatest commandment, you can sum everything else up, and that is to love you and others with all of our heart, and all of our soul, with all of our mind, and all of our strength. And God, we confess in this moment that we have failed short of this. We confess, Lord God, that we have chosen to remove ourselves from our design simply because it means that we have to put forth effort. God, we are in a time and a day and age where everything around us and all the technology is making things so much easier for us that we don't have to put forth effort. And so, God, we have to be a people who are flowing against the current. A people who will go against the grain. A people who will not get lumped up into the way the rest of society lives and moves. But God, we are called to be different from this world. We are called to be kingdom citizens representing you. So God, we are persons who are identified as your saints who live in a world full of other persons. You've called us and challenged us this morning to love you and others with all of our being, everything that makes us up as a person. God, we cannot do this on our own. It's an impossibility. But Lord, your word says that you are alive in us. This word right here we just read means that if we show others the love, that no one has seen you, God, but if we demonstrate this type of love, a love that gives of ourselves fully, a love that offers all of our heart in the moment, offers all of our soul and our strength and our mind in that moment, that in that moment we are proving that you are alive and well and that you reside within us. We are exposing you to the world when we love like this. And so, God, we tell you right now, we confess that we cannot do this in our own strength. We cannot do this in our own ability. It's impossible, God. But what we need right now, Lord God, is for you to lead us and guide us and to make us more aware in our spirit of every moment that you have given us so that we can be fully present. Even in this moment, God, that we are here with you, and there's distractions all around us. God, may we be fully present with you, loving you and worshiping you in this very moment, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and all of our strength.